This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. Oh, man. Friday before the first full NFL weekend. Oh, my gosh. If you are a football freak, college football week two. It's usually the kind of a weird week. Not a lot of great matchups, although there are a few. There are a few. There's no question about that. We have week two of college football, including, I want to thank the schedule maker for putting all four North Carolina ACC schools in the same window.
Yeah.
Everybody plays at noon, although I think it was State, Charleston Southern's in 12:30.
12:30.
Same thing. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What is that? All right. It's a good thing we all have the capability of recording. So we got that. Got a lot of college football to talk about. Yeah, exactly. And the first full weekend of the National Football League is here.
This is a football heaven for people. Yes. Because you got a game last night. You can watch high school football tonight if you want.
That's true.
College football.
Are you doing a game tonight, Dennis Cox?
I am not, actually.
I am Adam Gold. That's Dennis Cox. Dennis sometimes does high school football on the radio.
And I've handed that off.
Oh,
high school.
Didn't you do a game last week or two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I did.
So you handed it off after that?
Yeah, it was the mesh point.
Oh, that was the very nice. That was the finale?
Yeah, that was the finale.
Speaking of, we'll get to that later. We have more to talk about later. All right, so we have all sorts of football. There was a sheet cake back in the in the break room.
So someone over in a sister company of ours, Microspace, is expecting a child. So it was from a baby shower from yesterday.
Okay, so
that was leftover sheet cake.
So it was leftover sheet cake.
From yesterday.
Okay.
It's still delicious.
Here's the thing. Sheet cake, it's almost impossible to deny sheet cake.
Yeah.
It's simple, but undefeated.
Yeah.
But if you put white icing on a sheet cake, I can decline.
Why?
To me, if it's chocolate icing, yes. I can't decline. I'm stuck.
Nice buttercream icing.
No, don't want it.
What if the cake was chocolate?
Doesn't matter. Half of that cake was chocolate. Not interested.
That's why I was just curious.
Not interested. Just give me chocolate icing. And then I can't. Then I'm helpless.
Chocolate buttercream icing?
Yeah. I'm helpless at that point. Okay. All right. We got a ton.
We can debate cakes. We have takes on cakes. I can tell you that.
Takes on cakes on cakes. All right, we got a lot of things to do. Let's roll.
Can I put my NFL teams as types of cake like I did with meats yesterday?
Well, sheet cake is just simple.
Yeah.
It's just simple.
You know what you're getting.
Garden variety, 8-8, 9-8 cake.
That's the Steelers.
That's all it is. Yeah, but I think the Steelers are going to be all over the place. And still get to 9-8 because Mike Tomlin, but I don't think I put the Steelers in the category of you know what you're going to get, unless you're only talking about the record.
Yeah,
because I think every game is going to look like a snowflake. They're all going to be a little bit different. All right, it was not the cleanest game we have ever seen last night. There was not great running backing early. There was not great wide receivering early. There was not great quarterbacking in the second half, at least not for Matthew Stafford.
No.
But the Buffalo Bills were way too much for the defending Stanley, whatever. We should start the whole show over now.
Take that, Colorado.
For the defending champion Rams. Well, Stan Kroenke owns the Avalanche.
There you go.
What a year he had. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I knew he owned the Rams. And he owns Arsenal. He owns the Avalanche and the was it the indoor lacrosse team that won it? The Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
He owns
Colorado
that
Mammoth,
too.
Yeah.
He owns that too. What doesn't he own? Anyway, so Kroenke was at the game last night. We saw him on TV a bunch. Josh Allen threw one interception. His wide receiver gave away another. That should not go on Josh Allen's record. It just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Bobbled the ball and then lost it. Just terrible. Allen did throw for 297 yards, three touchdowns, carried one in on his own. Bills turned it over three times. Only reason it was close in the first half, it was 10-10 at halftime, in spite of the fact that Buffalo really was the much better team. Matthew Stafford was erratic. He threw three picks. We'll hear from all the particulars in a minute. Von Miller was great in the game, which shouldn't surprise anybody. Now Buffalo is off until next Monday night, I believe. They play against the Titans on Monday night, so they get the extra day. That's a good football team, a really, really, really good football team. I didn't see a ton I didn't like. The only thing I didn't like, I think that Devin Singletary is clearly their best running back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's not close. I think Cook, the rookie from Georgia, has a real future. But he put the ball on the ground immediately.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a hit. He just lost the ball. I mean, there was contact there, but I don't think contact really caused the fumble. I think he just didn't really have good ball security at all. Zach Moss was okay, not great. I think he fumbled too. There were just issues, and I think Sean Singletary is their. I think he's probably their best receiver as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not their best receiver. We know who the best receiver is, Stephon Diggs. By the way, congratulations to Gabriel, who scored a touchdown for you.
Yeah, Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis. Well, yeah, Gabriel Davis. I call him by his first name all the time. But, yeah, you're on quite a roll. But Buffalo looked awfully, awfully good. And it sounded a little bit like a Buffalo home game as I moved to my next topic on the slate. So, according to ProFootballTalk.com, and I have no reason to doubt that this is true, the Rams had to go with silent snap counts because Bills fans were too loud at SoFi Stadium. And it was obvious, even if you were watching with the sound down, that there were tons of Bills fans at SoFi Stadium. I mean, I'm going to guess here, maybe Buffalo fans were anxious to get to somewhere other than Buffalo?
Potentially.
Right? I mean, I kid, but Buffalo, a lot of people from Buffalo moved here. So I'm sure this is not the only place they have moved to. But they're also great fans. And if you have an opportunity to go to L.A., and maybe it's just after the start of school, yeah, you might take an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, why not?
I got no problem with it at all. That's cool. I'm glad to see visiting teams traveled. Of course, in order to get those seats, good tickets must still be available. And I think that that's the problem with SoFi Stadium. This is not the first time that it has happened to the Rams. It happened a bunch last year. It will not be the last. The Rams, at times, will feel like the road team in their own stadium. And I said this a long time ago. Always remember, Los Angeles did not clamor for the NFL to return to their city. This was not LA going, we need a football team. They were cool. They were cool watching Southern Cal. Of course, Southern Cal back in the day was better than the Southern Cal we're watching today, although maybe Lincoln Riley will turn that around. The number two media market in the United States was super okay with just watching whatever the networks gave them at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, or in their case, 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
They were okay with it. They didn't care. They have had teams before and let them go. The real home team in Los Angeles will be there Sunday on the visitor sideline when the Raiders play at the Chargers. First time these two teams have ever opened in L.A. Interesting. Interesting. All right, moving on. Panthers and the Browns.
All right.
Yes, Baker Mayfield is stoked to go up against his former team. He's a human being. He should be stoked. Yes, a win would have a little more juice and a straight up with a red hot poker feel to it. Have you ever seen the movie One-on-One?
No.
Robbie Benson and Annette O'Toole.
Okay.
It's a movie about a hotshot basketball player who's playing college basketball for Western University. Don't know where Western University is, but it's just he's playing at Western, and he has a little bit of a run-in with his coach, and then he basically, coach doesn't want to play him. He's hard on him. He's a hotshot, a little bit of a showboat, all of that. He stars, and then he flies the coop and transfers to another school. And he tells his coach straight up with a red-hot poker. For people who have seen One-on-One, they will get it, and they will appreciate that I referenced the movie. Okay. But are the Panthers good enough to beat the Browns on Sunday? Can Ike Ekwonu at least get run over slowly by Myles Garrett? Can Christian McCaffrey be that guy, the run CMC guy? Because these are major, major questions. And I have one more. If the Browns decide to just pound away at the softer underbelly of Carolina's defense, which is basically straight up the middle, if they decide to do that, is Carolina going to be okay? Is Carolina going to be able to stand up to that? Because the Browns have an elite running game. Good offensive line. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Kareem Hunt. Hey, Jacoby Brissett's a really good runner. And he's a powerful guy. That's an interesting matchup. We're going to have to find out what the Panthers are all about. Do we have time here to hear from our two friends at ESPN? Let's do that. Jay Williams is on the home team.
Look, first off, I don't think the Panthers defense is scared of Jacoby Brissett at all. And I get edge rushers and Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. And that's going to be intimidating. But I think with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, I think with the Baker Mayfield in a revenge game, I think the Panthers win this one.
That's Jay. Keyshawn, what do you think?
The Cleveland Browns are a much better football team, I think, all the way around. The question is, can Jacoby Brissett beat the Carolina Panthers and Baker Mayfield? I believe in this particular situation it's an even game, so I'm taking the Cleveland Browns because I think they got a better team and a better roster.
They might both be right.
Yeah.
Even though
Brissett doesn't play.
Getting rid of the predictions. Like, the reasoning behind the predictions might be right. I don't think the Panthers are scared of Jacoby Brissett's throwing, but I'm also not sure that the Panthers, as a roster, are even close to as good as the Browns as a roster. We'll talk about predictions a little bit later on. Interesting news that happened about, 40 minutes ago? An hour ago, maybe? Carolina Hurricanes, who have a full roster. But like your grandma always said, there's always room for Jell-O. There is. Doesn't make a difference how full you are. There's room for Jell-O, if you are so inclined.
Okay.
Right? There is room for Jell-O. In this case, Calvin DeHaan is the Jell-O, signed to a professional tryout contract. It's not really a contract. He's just being invited to camp, much like Derek Stepan. And these are players that are very familiar to the current coaching staff. Stepan was here last year. DeHaan was part of the first Hurricanes team to return to the playoffs. He was part of the 18-19 squad that ended up in the conference finals and actually became a really enormous part of their playoff run, even though he played with a severely damaged shoulder. He had to be strapped up tight in order to play. And Carolina lost Trevor Van Riemsdyk to a bad shoulder injury during the Islanders series. And I know this pains people to hear, but Dougie Hamilton was essentially a waste in the playoffs. He was completely intimidated in Washington. Justin Faulk and Brett Pesce saved the Hurricanes in the Washington series. And then DeHaan essentially had to play broken and played very well just to stay on the ice. And, of course, the Hurricanes traded him in the offseason because it's silly to spend more than $4 million on a third-pair defender. It just is.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what they're going to pay Jake Gardner this year. And that's what it says to me. It says to me that the Hurricanes are, they feel confident that they could find a home for Jake Gardner. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they will, but DeHaan is there, and I think DeHaan will end up being on the roster. But they've got a lot of options. This roster has depth, and remember, they're going to have Max Pacioretty coming back probably sometime right around the trade deadline. That'll be a pretty good acquisition without having to give anything up for him. So Prospect Tournament, by the way, starts 1 week from today, and Jack Drury is not on that roster because he doesn't have to. He's not a prospect anymore. He's an NHL player. All right. So we all saw the sad news yesterday. We mentioned it. We talked about it a little bit. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, after a 70-year reign, longest tenured monarch in the UK, passed away yesterday at age 96. So it was interesting, I thought. We had moments of silence, I believe, at SoFi last night. We had a moment of silence at the U.S. Open at the National Tennis Center. In the middle of round one at the BMW Championship at Wentworth in England, they stopped play, wiped out play for today. And I have not seen an update as to whether or not they will get back on the golf course Saturday and Sunday. I kind of think they have to because this is the signature event on the DP World Tour, but they're not playing Premier League soccer this weekend. The entire slate was wiped clean. So I know Man U did play yesterday, and they played. I think they kicked off 3 hours after the Queen passed.
Yeah.
It was maybe a little less. It was, I mean, I'm not that surprised because I'm sure all the people were already at Old Trafford, but I don't know. They emptied the golf course in at Wentworth. So this is a major, major deal to the people of England. I mean, I think I was watching Sky News last night, right? It was just amazing to watch the way that, she really is just a figurehead. She has no authority.
Yeah.
There's no governmental authority. They have a prime minister who, by the way, just started her gig 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right? 3 days
week.
Ago. Right? The 6th, I believe, is her, whatever her, Liz Buss or Bruss or something like that. She just started this week. I don't know. It's a big deal. I don't know what the plan is for the weekend with anything. I know there was a fight called off.
Yeah, there's a couple of fights. Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall were set to fight, as well as a junior lightweight title fight between Michaela Mayer and Alicia Baumgartner that were set to take place in England. They got postponed to October 15th at the O2 Arena in London.
Amazing.
For a fighter, I'm not sure that's got to be difficult because you obviously you're cut weight and everything to get ready for that date.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through that process all over again in about 5-6 weeks. That's not going to be easy.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, real quick, back to the football game last night. And by the way, Bridget Condon of the NFL Network is going to join us in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about some football. We'll talk about last night briefly. She's based in L.A. We will talk about the Raiders' visit to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. And we'll talk about the Panthers. And we'll talk about Russell Wilson's return to Seattle. Russell, I don't know what you're trying to get at with the Seahawks tried to trade you before. Okay. And, like, are we trying to make this more of a sob story? What are we doing? All right, so the Bills had their way with the Rams. I think Josh Allen was the leading rusher for Buffalo. I have my issues with that.
Yeah.
Devin Singletary, they could do better to make sure Devin Singletary was maybe in more rhythm and got more carries. They don't need to spread it around as much as they do. Give one guy some run. By the way, I'm not saying this as a guy who has Devin Singletary on his fantasy team. I don't. I don't have any Bills. I didn't have anybody in the game last night, which is a mistake. I would have drafted Stephon Diggs if I could have. But that was eye-opening. Dan Graziano from ESPN, I think, has some concerns.
If you're a Bills fan and you're watching that game and there's something to give you concern, it's that he looked a little reckless on some of those runs. And some of them late in the game when they're already up big, you're like, why, buddy? Like, why are we doing this? But, you know, Allen's response would be, look, it's important for him. It's important for his teammates and everybody else to know he's willing to do whatever it takes to win a game. And we've seen him play like this. And I think on some level he recognizes that, you know, he has to last. And that, you know, at some point, he's probably got to make some different decisions in the run game. But, I mean, the people that run the team, Brandon Bean, the GM, and Sean McDermott, the head coach, were in Carolina when they drafted Cam Newton. And it's very similar, obviously, body type and running at the goal line and everything. So they recognize that. They want to make sure that they don't beat him up too much.
It is interesting. I'm glad Dan Graziano brought up Cam Newton, because this has been, I don't know why, Cam Newton is still in the back of everybody's mind, apparently. There were so many things flying around about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are already better than Cam Newton ever was, which, of course, is a lie. I mean, you're lying to yourself if you believe that. Josh Allen might be. But if you're out here thinking Justin Herbert is already better, like, you're a fool. You're an absolute, utter fool. Josh Allen is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
he's that
awesome.
Dude.
He is. But I would point out that Cam Newton did not get hurt ever outside the pocket. Actually, no, once he got a concussion. I think it was in Atlanta, outside the pocket. You know, he didn't protect himself going across the goal line, and he got popped, and it looked like he got a concussion.
When did the foot become such? Was that on a scramble?
That happened in a preseason game.
Yeah, that's what
But that's just a freak injury. It wasn't a contact injury. He was just running, and it basically popped on him.
Yeah.
But all of Cam Newton's physical problems happened in the pocket. All of them. It is such a joke. When you are 250 and faster than just about everybody else you're seeing, and you're bigger than other than defensive linemen, you're causing the problems, not absorbing them.
Uh-huh.
Josh Allen is pretty close to that.
That stiff arm he threw last night.
Oh, my gosh, that was delicious.
I got steamed up.
Absolutely delicious. And then he laughed about it.
Yeah.
He laughed at the guy. That was awesome. I like Josh Allen. I do. I like him. I was not a believer at first. I am a believer in Josh Allen. I still think that we'll see some, and we saw some inaccuracies last night. He threw some bad passes, some really bad passes last night.
He had five incompletions, though.
Yeah, right.
And one of them was the receiver bobbled it
right.
And handed
so
it to the defender.
So he had four incompletions.
Yeah.
That should not count as an incompletion. That should count as a completed pass and a fumble, even though the receiver didn't have control of the ball. So it was an interception. It ruled properly, but we should have an official scorer in football like we have in baseball, and the official scorer should have said, yeah, that ain't on Josh Allen. We're going to give that as a catch and a fumble on McKenzie, who caught a touchdown pass a little bit later on in the game. So there you go. Bills easy over the Rams. I think 31-10 was the final. They covered comfortably. I think we're going to have all Sir Elton John today in honor of the Queen's passing. Queen Elizabeth II passed away yesterday at age 96 at her home in Balmoral, which they don't live at Buckingham Palace. The main residence is Balmoral, which is outside London. So I watched way too much Sky News last night / this morning in London. Anyway, sad to hear the news. I saw a YouTube video circulating about the Queen going to a Maryland, North Carolina football game in like 1954 or something, 57. That's right. Maryland won the national championship in 1954. Yeah, they did. So it was 1957 game, and they parked right on the track by the football stadium, by the football field. Forget about this. Inside the stadium. They just drove up, parked. She got out, sat in the front row. Great parking spot. It's where I used to park when I was in College Park, except I got a ticket. Bridget Condon, who is now with the NFL Network. We miss her terribly here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she joins us on the Adam Gold because it's the first weekend of football. I'm not sure your boss has reminded you of that. How you doing?
Hey, I'm so excited. Wow, what a fun game that was last night to kick off the NFL season. If that doesn't get you ready for Sunday, I don't know what does.
Right, and because we saw, I mean, Josh Allen is a next-level performer. Was it a Buffalo home game or was it a Rams home game?
I unfortunately wasn't there. I have been sidelined this week, just a little under the weather.
Oh, no!
Which is just really exciting, too. But I did see Omar Ruiz, one of my coworkers. He did an interview with Stephon Diggs right after the game, right. And there were tons of Bills Mafia behind him that made it feel like they definitely travel well, and I'm sure you could hear them all throughout the stadium, especially in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's as much a problem with the home team in that building, I think, than it is with the fact that the Bills travel. It's a good thing the Rams didn't open up with the Steelers, because those people are bananas. But I think we're going to see the home team on the visitor's sideline again on Sunday when the Raiders come to town.
You talk about a fan base that travels well, especially in California. The Raiders, when they come to SoFi Stadium, you do have to kind of look up at the scoreboard and be like, wait, who's home? Where are, who, what am I, what year is this? What am I doing? So it'll definitely be packed, but there's a lot of hype around the Chargers too. So don't count out their fans.
I hope they have fans. I mean, I really do. Look, I think the Chargers have one of those potential, those rosters that you go, all right, at some point it's all going to click. And it's going to click for the head coach, and all of these things will come together because that roster is super good and super talented on both sides of the ball. Do you have any read on what you think the Chargers might be capable of this year?
Yeah, I think they're capable of winning the division, definitely. And, you know, we've talked about this AFC West that's just stacked. And I think whoever comes out of that will have a deep playoff run, because if you're playing against the teams in that division twice during the regular season, that to me prepares you for whoever you're going to face in the playoffs. And I think the Chargers are one of those teams that they saw the holes that they needed to fill in the offseason, and they actually went out and did it. And they got Khalil Mack, JC Jackson, mm-hmm. Sebastian Joseph Day, Austin Johnson. They fixed some of these issues. And, you know, Brandon Staley, of course, everyone's going to talk about fourth and Staley and, you know, his calls during the games that maybe you as a head coach or I as a head coach wouldn't call. But I do think that what he's been able to do this offseason and just seeing the way the players buy into him at practice, I really think he's going to make a turn in his second season too. So I think they have all the pieces to be really successful. And, you know, what's fun about the NFL is they get a chance week one. There's no easing into this thing. It's week one against the Raiders, the team that kicked him out of the playoffs, or a chance to go to the playoffs.
I mean, even if, unless you're, I mean, I'm not throwing shade at the, like the Jets or the Giants, but there's only a handful of teams that you would think were going to ease into the season. I mean, you can make an argument, heck, even for Jacksonville. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, Will Brinson. he kind of thinks Jacksonville might have something to say about the AFC South. Just the fact that they don't have Urban Meyer as the head coach, mm-hmm. and they have Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Like, just that alone might give Jacksonville a boost.
Absolutely, and I think we saw this last year with the Bengals, right? How many people at the start of the season would have said, oh, yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals will be in the playoffs?
None.
I wouldn't have.
No.
So that's what's been kind of fun about the NFL. I think there are, you know, there are obviously your teams. I mean, I was going to say there are obviously your teams that you know are going to tank, but after watching Hard Knocks, I am a Lions fan, a Dan Campbell fan. I interviewed Amon-Ra St. Brown last week, and I am just on the Lions hype train. So, you know, it's the beginning of the season. This is what I love. Every team is 0-0, and anything is possible.
Yeah, with Bridget Condon from NFL Network is joining us. We weren't going to talk about the Lions, but since you're on the Lions hype train, I want to ask, this is my impression of this whole dynamic was that the introductory press conference of Dan Campbell, when he was talking about biting kneecaps, right, which was so over-the-top silly that we still use it as, like, drops and whatnot because it's funny. But he is so real that I believe he is an easy guy to play for. If they can just improve the roster, I think they have a shot to be decent.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, they are the underdog, and they have some pieces that maybe will be sleepers this year and kind of show out. But I think when you see any coach doing up-downs at practice, and I asked Amon-Ra St. Brown, I was like, is that just for the cameras? He's like, no, literally whenever the defense does it, he does it. I think that he makes you want to run through a wall. Yeah. I met him. I was actually at their first preseason game against the Falcons, and I went up and shook his hand, and he shook my hand so tight. I was like, I'm about to die. But he was so kind, like firm handshake, but kind eyes, and was, you know, who are you with? And oh yeah, anything you need. I'm like, wow, God, I just want to hang out with him.
Yeah, he does. I think he just exudes genuine ability to relate. And I think that's very cool. All right. Speaking of anything is possible. And I think the one thing the Lions do need is a quarterback. I don't think Jared Goff is the long-term answer there, and I don't believe they believe it. But Baker Mayfield is starting to turn some heads here in ways that we really haven't seen on the field because we're not going to see it on the field during a preseason game. But I think Baker is endearing himself to this team just by the stuff he does on the practice field, in the locker room. I know you spent a little bit of time around this team this offseason. This summer, what's your sense, your read on what this team might be able to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good sign that he was voted captain. I think we'd be, you know, questioning things if mm-hmm. he wasn't. I think everything that I've heard from that building is they all love him. And even, you know, Christian McCaffrey, who is very high on Sam Darnold, you know that they have a good relationship, has spoken highly of Baker Mayfield. And, you know, I think that maybe he is the spark that this team needed, because we talk about the Panthers and we're always talking about the bad that they've done, but they do have playmakers on their team. And I think with an elevated quarterback, they can, you know, be in the conversation for a late team to make the playoffs. I think it's all going to show on Sunday. One of the things that I keep bringing up is everything's good right now, right? They haven't lost a game. You know, there's hype around them. Things are positive. What happens if you start the season 0-3? What does that locker room look like? I mean, I don't know, but is that when you get an attitude or things, you know, it's always easier to walk into work with a smiling face if things aren't going well. But if they take away your radio show, I'm sure you wouldn't be walking in there smiling.
No. Do you know something I don't? Wait, we're not breaking news here, are we, Bridget?
No. Just don't come to work Monday.
There are people out there going, I hope Bridget right. I hope she's right. I hope she's right.
Oh no, Adam. You know, I'm kidding you.
I understand that. I hope Bridget Condon from NFL Network is joining us here. The way I look at the Panthers this year, I know they have their obvious holes. We hope Ike Ekwonu will make a pretty big leap over what he did in the preseason, which was at best sketchy. And he's got to deal with Myles Garrett on opening day, so that's not going to be fun. But if he can just grow and become decent early, and then maybe grow into it as the season wears on. If their offensive line is good, I think it's better. I think it will be better. The personnel is significantly better than it was a year ago, and it does appear that they are healthy to start the season. But I think their stock is dependent upon what is New Orleans. Is Tampa's offensive line healthy enough where they won't take a pretty big step back? Because they could. Their offensive line is a mess right now, physically and personnel-wise. But I don't know. I mean, I think New Orleans could be really good.
Yeah. That just reminds me. Did you see what Tom Brady's been doing with his offensive line? Did you hear that story?
Telling them that nobody thinks they're any good.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about them. I'm not going to be a clipping that he shows them.
It's probably a smart thing. Did you hear what Bridget Condon said of NFL Network? She thinks you're trash.
Think about this, okay? Sunday, Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. It's going to be pouring. Baker Mayfield against his old team. He wins. Last second touchdown to DJ Moore. The start of a perfect movie. Okay, so why don't you just hop on that hype train and let's just ride into the sunset until about week three.
There was an app that also voted Baker Mayfield the second most handsome quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know.
Huh?
We talked about this yesterday.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. It's hard for me to rate. I don't know if he's better looking than Tom Brady or not. I don't know if he's better looking than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes walks funny, so I'm not sure.
God, who's making these ratings?
I don't know. It was an app. Joe Burrow was voted the most handsome quarterback in the NFL. He was voted perfect. All right, final.
What about Jimmy Garoppolo? I guess he's not a starter.
Not a starter, right. I don't know. We've never seen Trey Lance actually without his helmet on. Final thing for you before I have to let you go, and you need to get going anyway. Russell Wilson going back to Seattle.
How exciting.
It is exciting. We have that. And then the story yesterday, like, well, you know, they tried to trade me in 2018. Is he trying to make this more of a revenge game than it needs to be?
I don't think so. I think he's just, you know, sometimes caught up and say things. And I don't think players really realize how far, if you say something, it'll travel.
Right.
I think he's excited. I mean, I really do believe him when he says he loved Seattle and had a special place to him and everything that he did in the community. I'm going to be shocked if he goes into that stadium and people boo him, you know, even in New England, they didn't boo Tom Brady. I think it's going to be really special. I do think he's going to win. I mean, you're going against Geno Smith, who I believe is like 1-6 in primetime games.
Yeah.
So I think Russell and the Broncos win this one, but it'll be emotional, I think. And I mean, let's talk about Von Miller, someone who just went back and destroyed his former team. I don't think he's going to hold anything back, but I think it will be, you know, it's got to be weird. Imagine going back to a place you spent 10 years of your life.
Oh, they will definitely cheer Russell Wilson. And by the way, Geno Smith being 1-6 in primetime, I'm trying to process whether or not that's better or worse than his other record as a starter. I mean, he played with the Jets, right? Can't be great. 1-6 might be normal.
I'm on a lot of hype trains. I don't think I can be on the Geno Smith hype train now, but I don't know. Prove me wrong, Geno.
Bridget Condon, NFL Network. Thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. You have a great opening weekend.
All right, see ya.
Take care. Bridget Condon, NFL Network. We're going to go all Sir Elton John in honor of the passing of Queen Elizabeth.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, specifically.
This album.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Ironically,
album.
I don't know if it's ironic is the proper term, was a suggested album anyway from somebody.
Oh, very good.
So there we go.
Very good. I suggested it today. All right, so here's real quick. I mentioned earlier that Balmoral is the actual home of the royal family,
mm-hmm.
right? And that it was outside London. Todd pointed out on Twitter, Balmoral is in Scotland. I responded, well, that is
it's outside London. Mm-hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong. I know it's not in London. Anyway, there you go. All right, we got one segment a week. We do a mailbag. This is it.
You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
It is in the mentions. By the way, the conversation about meat also deals with donuts and deals with beer. And we're going to have to pick games based on beer.
Oh, okay.
Coming up in a little bit.
All right.
I really like the Panthers' chances if we're talking about beer. Okay. I think Charlotte's got better beer options than Cleveland. Mm. All right. It's my opinion. I could be wrong.
Great Lakes is a heavy hitter, though.
Great Lakes is in Cleveland?
Uh-huh.
It's Cleveland beer? I don't know. I've had some Great Lakes beers. I've had Great Lakes beers. I don't think they're better than Sycamore.
Okay.
I don't think they're better than Sycamore. All right. In the mentions, you can tweet to us at AGoldFan, at the fan rookie. So I'm using this tweet, which is sort of, it's like a double, there's really two topics here. And this was in response to my tweet that I've been telling people that LA didn't want the NFL. Now, they're not mad that they have the NFL, but they were not yearning for the NFL to come back. The National Football League wanted to go back to LA because it's the second biggest media market in the United States. How can we not have a team in LA? We used to have two. So they decided they were going to bring teams to LA. They were going to bring two. Problem is they brought the wrong team because the Raiders are not the team. Mm-hmm. The Raiders are the most popular team in Southern California. All right. So as Ron points out, reminds me of NASCAR. Trying to pull races out of small markets and go to bigger markets for TV ratings. Not really TV ratings. It's more marketing and money and sponsorships. Plus amenities. But the conundrum is, if nobody in the big market cares, what's the point? Well, there is some of that. And I bring that up only because shouts to NASCAR for bringing the All-Star race to North Wilkesboro next year. Like, again, yeah. We don't talk a lot of racing, and I mentioned this yesterday or the day before, but that is a cool development. That is a really cool thing. It is a major event that they are bringing to North Wilkesboro. So, you know, pat yourself on the back. That is awesome. Just wanted to give another get another chance to mention that. All right. I'm going to start with a tweet. It was a response to me because there's a story out. The CBSSports.com, Matt Norlander, does a Coach's Confidential. Mm-hmm. And coaches are advocating to go to a 24-second shot clock in college basketball.
Oh, okay.
I'm in favor of that. The shorter shot clock, the better. It doesn't matter whether the shot clock is 24 seconds, 10 seconds, 40 seconds, we're still going to have, in college basketball, a terrible shot at the end of the shot clock. It doesn't matter. We'll have a terrible shot if it's a 45-second shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
Why wait? 24 is enough. The NBA uses a 24-second shot clock. My response to this was, now all we need is four quarters in a basketball game.
Yep.
Jay Billis responds, that has been advocated for years. The stated reason is commercial inventory in a two-hour window. Money. I don't accept that we cannot do it. We haven't had the will to do it. Four quarters is a necessity. Men's college basketball is the only game in the world without quarters. Fact. FIBA basketball, international basketball is all quarters. Women's basketball is all quarters. Professional basketball in the United States, all quarters. Why is college basketball halves? Makes no sense. Makes zero sense. On top of the fact that we could actually remove a commercial break from each half by simply taking the break at 5 minutes of each quarter. Jay points out also that fouls should reset after the first and third quarters,
uh-huh,
and the fouls only in the second and fourth quarters. Also, good.
Oh, we so just like college women's basketball does right now.
Right, and the
They're
NBA.
They're already ahead of it. Yeah.
And the NBA. The truth is that we don't need a parade to the foul line in college basketball, but that's what we get. I wish college basketball was a better sport, and we can make it better. And Todd says, I agree with you on quarters, but I like the strategy and game management of college basketball that the NBA doesn't have. Todd Boobie. There is more coaching and strategy and game management in 4 minutes of an NBA game than there is in 4 months of college basketball, where the biggest decision is, should I play zone or not? Stop. Tell me you don't watch NBA basketball without telling me you don't watch NBA basketball. It is night and day. College game is a simpler game. I'm not saying it's worse. I mean, the game, the basketball itself is worse, but each sport has its own, you know, vibe to it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.